Great. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. The Devar Avram, we spoke about yesterday, raises a fascinating question. Sfiras Omer, we're not sure which day it is, a Jew in contemporary times or 100 years ago who lost track of what day of Sfira it is, doesn't have access to a calendar outside of a Jewish community. He's not sure whether tonight is 27 or 28. What does he do? Does he count one or the other or both? As Dvar Avraham says, shockingly, neither. Dvar Avraham posits that you cannot count Sfiras HaOmer unless you're certain. If you guess, even if you guess right, you're not Yotze anything. Or if you cover all of your bases, you're still not Yotze anything. So if you sit there and say, Hayom, Shiv from Yom, Shehem, Shlosh Shavuos, etc. And Hayom, Shmona Ves from Yom, Shehem, Arba Shavuos, Laomer, nothing. Even though it's either 27 or 28, and you covered both bases, you were Yotze nothing. And the Dvar Avram, and it was on the Marmal Kamos also, Avin Ezer, others, several Achron developed the idea of Dvar Avram, Barosham, that there are a number of issues. That a number of uniquenesses of Sfiras HaOmer that flow from the fact that although Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah which you fulfill verbally, it is not a mitzvah amira in the classical sense. It's not a mitzvah to recite a certain text, to say a certain text. It's a mitzvah to count, a different verb. That's why the Dvar Avraham suggests saying the right words without certainty doesn't help. That's why the both of the chumras of the Magen Avraham, we saw yesterday, Taf Pei Tes, Sif Katan Beis, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, right? He had two chumras. One was a very expansive machmir reading of Svir L'Chalech V'Yechad, Menachas Tamechem Beis, the Gemara is a brisa, a medrash, a darshanu Usfartem, in plural, you, each of you has to count. It teaches you, the Gemara says, that you need each person to count. What does that mean? Each person to count. It only means that each person has a chiyuv. It's not just a chovas hatzibur. It's not just something that Sanhedrin does. Unlike counting years to Shemitah and Yovel, Sfiras HaOmer is different. Every Jew has a chiyuv. Okay. That's the simple understanding, but the Magen Avraham suggests, based on the simple reading of a Teshuvas HaRashba, it doesn't just mean that's a Chovas HaYachir rather than Chovas HaTzibur. It means you have to use your own mouth, and that unlike other verbal mitzvahs, Shomei Ka'one doesn't work. Kiddush Friday night is also a personal Chovas HaYachir, but I can be Yotze either by saying it or by making sure to listen to you say it. I can't just say, well, the Sanhedrin not Gadol is saying it. I have to take care of myself. But usually verbal mitzvahs I can take care of with my own mouth or with my ears, from Shomei Ka'one, as we had a chance to ma'ayin into earlier in the year. But here, the Magen Avraham says, here's different. He quotes the Teshuvas HaRashba, that the Pshat and that Medrash, that Braisa, the Gemara quotes on Menachas HaMachem Beis, is that Shomei Ka'one is suspended. Why? What does that mean? Svil Chalech V'Yechad is no Shomei Ka'one. Magen Avraham goes on to suggest another exception. Normally, when you have verbal mitzvahs, in terms of the rules of engagement with foreign language, so usually there are two options. Right? Mishnah and Sota says in 7th Parak, there are some mitzvahs that cannot be said in translation at all. Some mitzvahs like Duchening must be said in Hebrew, in the original. Okay, like the Pesukim by Chalitza. Has to be said in the original. Okay. Other mitzvos, you can be yotze in translation. Some can be said in any language. But as we saw in the second paragraph of Megillah yesterday, Daf Yud Zayin, Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara Daf Yud Ches, even when we allow foreign language, there's still a difference between Hebrew and a foreign language. And what was that difference? That Hebrew, you have a free pass. Hebrew, you're Yotze even if you don't understand, whereas in a foreign language, it's only if you understand. Okay. So there's always a difference between Hebrew and foreign languages. Sometimes you're not Yotze in a foreign language at all. when you yotzi in a foreign language, but it's only if you understand it. But Hebrew, you yotzi even if you don't understand it. Now they come to Sfiras HaOmer. Magen Avraham says, Hebrew is no better than anything else. Either way, you can be yotzi in a foreign language, you can count in English, you can count in Latin, you can count in Italian, but whatever it is, you got to understand it. Not only in English or Italian, but also in Hebrew. So what's going on? What happened to the free pass of Hebrew? So far, three uniquenesses. Sfiras HaOmer has to be certain. Sfiras HaOmer has to be understood, even in Hebrew. And Sfiras HaOmer has to be said personally by your own mouth with no Shomea Kaona. And the explanation for all of these appears to be that Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah of recitation. It's not a mitzvah of saying words. You do use your mouth, but it's not a mitzvah of saying words. It's a mitzvah of counting. It's a different verb. So to count means to count. If you understand, you're not counting. You're saying the words. You know those kids? You remember those kids in elementary school who had memorized how to count from 1 to 10 in different languages? Remember that kid? Dietz remembers that kid. There's always the kid. He knows how to count from 1 to 10 in Mandarin Chinese. Right? And he knows how to count from 1 to 10 in some obscure African language. I know how to count from 1 to 10 in Basque. Okay, that's all great. But most of the time what that means is the kid like memorized a string of words. If you asked him to actually like, okay, and how many tangerines is this? He couldn't actually tell you. He's not actually counting. It's just like he memorized an incantation. He memorized a din dva tri chatira. Pia chest. Thank you very much. But if I ask you how many fingers, can you tell me piat? If you actually speak Russian, yeah. If you just memorize the numbers, no, because if you understand, you're not counting. So if you understand, you're not counting. If you understand in Hebrew, it's not a sfira. Or shomea ka'ona. Very nice. Ke'ilu, I said it, but I didn't count. Ke'ilu, I said it, but I need to count. No shomea ka'ona. And, as Vavram said, safik. He may have said the right words. It's either 27 or 28. So I said the words. I guessed right, or Taka said all the possibilities. Yeah, but you're still not counting. To count means to count with certainty. So to count means to count with understanding. To count means to count yourself. To count means to count with certainty. And the Rav suggested to count means to count with continuity. Consecutiveness. 1, 2, 4, 7 is cute when you're 4 years old, but that's not actually counting. So if you're skipping days, it's not a sfira because you're not counting. It's nice that you said tonight is 4, but if you didn't count last night was 3, so what you did is you said 1, 2, 4. You said the right words, but you're not counting. It's the wrong verb. It's not a mitzvah of amira. It's a mitzvah of sfira. And that explains. With this, we ended yesterday, and then let's take this a couple of steps further. That explained, going back to that Sefer Achinuch, I am grateful to Nassan who pointed out that I had not explained how to fit it back into that Sefer Achinuch. You know, as a matter of fact, let's bring the Sefer Achinuch up right now on the screen. Okay, here we go. Let's read the words of the Sefer Achinuch, which had struck us the other day as being mysterious. And he says, the Bahag says, you can't, you miss a day, you're out. And then he says, V'lo hodu morein shabinareinu desvarazu. My rebbeim in this dar do not agree to this far. The Bahag lived centuries before him. The Bahag lived in the period of the Gaonim. He said, okay, that was a very ancient position, but the more read the Rishonim, our rebbeim, they don't agree with that svara. So instead, if you forgot a day, you say, well, yesterday, this is what, yesterday was 3. Yom Echad Bracha, and then you say, yesterday was 3. Then you say, Bracha, and you count 4, Im Kol Yisrael. So we had wondered the other day, 3 kashas. Number one, what does it help to say what yesterday was? And it's not as though you can be Yotze tonight for last night's counting, because you say, clearly he doesn't think that. It's absurd on its face, and he said below bracha, so it's not to be kind of the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. So what is it doing? And then what's this with the counting in Kol Yisrael? And finally, kasha number 3 was, how is this a response to the Bahag? Bahag said, you missed your out. Now, how does this solve that problem? And now, with the power of this concept that the Dvar Rav and others develop, this lumdus that it's not a mitzvah of amira, it's a mitzvah of sfira, it's a different verb, it's a mitzvah to count. It happens to be you do it verbally. Your mouth is the organ that you use in doing the sfira. You don't just do it in your brain, you do it verbally, but it's not a mitzvah to say certain words. It's a mitzvah to count. Oh, so then we understand everything. And specifically, if the concern is that counting requires continuity, that 1, 2, 4 just isn't counting, well, then in that case, the chinuch is saying maybe there's a way to restore the continuity. Your worry is not going to be tamimos; it's not going to be a whole count. You're just going to be saying random numbers. Well, is there a way to patch it? Yes. You had counted 1. You had counted 2. Last night, you forgot to count 3. So now it's 4. So I can't just count 1, 2, 4. Oh, but I could say 3, 4. Last night was 3, and now it's 4. So now I'm completing the whole 1, 2, 3, 4. When I say last night was 3, it's not a mitzvah sphere. So Omer is too late for that. So that's why I say Emesh Hayukach below bracha. But I'm just going to state, not as a key mitzvah sphere, so Omer, but practically to continue the counting, to restore the continuity, to restore the consecutiveness. I'll say, oh, well, yesterday was 3. We already did 1 and 2. I say, oh, and yesterday was 3. And now I'm ready to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Al Sfiras Omer, tonight is 4. And the Mono HaChayim we call Yisrael, that point as well, as Rav suggested, the notion of this Im Kol Yisrael, we don't usually say, I'm having a Seder with all of Klal Yisrael. I'm blowing shofar with all of Klal Yisrael. Why was on here we stressing Sfiras Omer and Klal Yisrael? As a matter of fact, even the context of Sfiras Omer, elsewhere in Mitzvah Shenavav, the Sefer Echinuch doesn't constantly say, oh, you're going to count Sfiras Omer and Klal Yisrael. But the idea might be that here, that's part of restoring the continuity. That's how are you patching this? So it's a combination of you saying 3, that yesterday was 3, and the fact that Klal Yisrael overall did count last night as 3. I forgot to count last night, but many tens, hundreds of thousands of Jews did count last night. So as a whole, Klal Yisrael is still keeping with the numbers. So since it's sort of like a raise, sort of like a scaffolding, there's a framework of Klal Yisrael has been counting continuously, so I can plug into that by doing my piece. I'll say, well, and yesterday was 3, and now Baruch Atah Hashem, etc., tonight is 4. So sort of two ingredients which each help to restore the continuity. My personal saying now, yesterday was 3, together with the fact that Klal Yisrael counted 3. I'm not doing this on my own. Klal Yisrael as a whole is counting, so that's the two ingredients, the two dimensions together, the Tzibur's counting and my personal review now of what was yesterday, the makeup, but together that restores the continuity. So those are the 4 major nafkaminas. Again, certainty as opposed to sveika dioma. Understanding as opposed to saying Hebrew if you don't understand. That's important, la halacha. If you know someone who doesn't, someone breaking their teeth on the Hebrew, they don't really know what the numbers mean. So if they want to say in Hebrew as well, it's fine, but I would encourage them, guide them to say it in English too. And to avoid Shomei Kona, you can have Shomei Kona on the bracha, but the Magen Avraham's idea of avoiding Shomei Kona on the counting. And finally, this idea of consecutiveness. And that's a solution to the Bahag. And let's understand, by the way, this is a second solution to the Kasha of Tosus and the Rosh. And the Prima Gadim, they said, how could it be they miss a day, you're out? But if it's 49 brachas, it's 49 mitzvahs. If it's 49 mitzvahs, each one's independent. So our first teretz was, maybe it's 49 brachas, but it doesn't mean it's 49 mitzvahs. This second teretz is saying, who says that the fact that, who says the Prima Gadim is the one who said, the Bahag holds as one big mitzvah. So the Rav's second teretz is, maybe that's not even true. Maybe they all agree it's 49 mitzvahs. It's just that the Bahag holds 49 mitzvahs. Each county is a new mitzvah. But if you miss tonight, you can't continue because it's not going to be continuous. It will no longer count as counting. But it's not that, of course each night is its own mitzvah, and that's why each night gets its own bracha. It's just, but the mitzvah is to count. So if I miss three, I'm out with four. The Chasei Vrachinach had a solution. Well, maybe you can make it up by saying yesterday was three. Okay. The Bahag says, no, it doesn't help. You miss a day, you're out. But it's a question of the continuity and the question of the capacity to count. Yeah, Moshe. Right. Oh, fantastic. So Moshe is asking an excellent question. He's saying, you remember earlier in the year, we learned the first paragraph of Chulin, and we got into the Sugya of Shmei HaKonos through the rush at the beginning. So we saw the Vegas Chazar, getting to Chazar mode, Baruch Hashem. So remember the whole handle, the Beis Halevi, the Rebbe Salmi Vilna, the Beis Halevi, the Chazanish, the Stipler, right, where they spoke pointed out, Shomei Kaona doesn't just transfer over the bare words. Pasha Pshat, you get the different qualities of the speech also. It's not just that that's Ki'ilu, you said the words of Megillah. It's Ki'ilu, you said the words of Megillah, Mitoch HaKsav. Shofar, Ki'ilu, the sound is actually... You're also having the sound coming out of a kosher shofar. Right? So the qualities, the kiddush one can say, it's not only Kila said the words, Kila said the words while holding the kos. Right? So how is that going to work? So why not say that over here as well? Great question. I say here too. It's not just Kila I said, it's Kila I counted. That's a sharp, sharp question. I think the answer is, there's all the same dimension. There's all mitzvahs of recitation. Kriya Shema have a mitzvah to recite the words of Kriya Shema, and Megillah have the mitzvah to recite the words of Megillah, mitoch haksav. There's an added quality to the recitation. But the verb, the basic action I'm doing is reciting the Megillah. Right? That's what we call it. Mikra, Megillah. To read the Megillah. Like Kriya Shema. It's reading, it's recitation with a certain added quality. So you can't just read the words, you have to read the words mitoch haksav. Right? But basically, it's to make these sounds, to verbalize these words, or by a shofar, it's not words, but right, to create that sound, the kol shofar. Correct. So correct. Kobe's saying that's what as the Magen Avraham points out, the Rashba understands. That the drasha usfartim velamishel teisvia cholech viecha, the drasha appears in the brisa menachas hamachem beis, is teaching me that. The question is that just a random gzeres hakasav, maybe, or is that drasha perhaps the source for this whole lumdus that we're talking about? This whole idea, we so far had four nafkaminas in this notion that it's a mitzvah of sfira, not a mitzvah of amira or kriya. That might all derive from that drasha. Exactly. Usfartem, which teaches me, according to the Rashba, that fundamentally this is a different type of activity. Not just a kriya with an added quality. I'm being called upon to do something else. I'll give you a mashal. Can you have Shomea Ka'one? Can you have Shomea Ka'ona for our Taurus Nadarim? Right, we're familiar with that Taurus Nadarim Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's not just Erev Rosh Hashanah, it could be all year long. Right? But you come to appear before the Beis Din, you make a declaration that these Nadarim you wanna somehow back out of. Right? Can I have Shomea Ka'ona on that? Probably not. Ki'ilu, I said the words. Yeah, but the point isn't saying the words. The point is that you're making an argument to Beis Din. Harei mikudeshesli. You can have a shliach. It's not very romantic, but you can create kiddushin with a shliach. But let's say I'm doing the giving of the ring myself. But someone else is going to say that, my iver is poor, so the rabbi will say, he'll say harei mikudeshesli, I'll just listen. be a yotzer shemeya ka'ona. So again, there's a lot of lumdus about Hariyah Mekudeshosli, the beautiful Brisker Rav, Rabbi Michael Hecht's Chasna Torah. Now is not the time. The Baruch Ber, Chalakas Rashi Taisus. Without getting into all the lumdus of Hariyah Mekudeshosli about Amir Bekidushin, you can certainly hear, no pun intended, but you can hear the Svara that you can't have shomeya ka'ona. Can't have shomeya ka'one on Hariyah Mekudeshosli. It was ke'ilu I said it. It was not a question of having recited the words. It's a question of you're creating this performative speech. You're actually creating a chalos, if that's the lumdus. You're actually making yourself married in part through those words. It doesn't help to have shomeya ka'one. It's a different verb. It's not just a question of I have to recite this text. I have to marry her, right? Or here, and it could be that the harayat is part of the act of marriage. Or here, it's not just I have to say certain words with a certain quality, with understanding. I have to count. So shemeya ka'ona is not pashas, is not going to, it's a whole other dimension. It's not just an amira with an added quality. Okay, now, but this idea that, again, a second teretz to the Tosfos have been so bothered. Teima gedola velo yitachen. Sabahaga is so shver. So we're saying maybe he's not shver because the taka is one big mitzvah, even though they're 49 brachas. Or maybe he's not shver because the taka is 49 separate mitzvahs. But once I miss, I'm out. Now I want you to appreciate a little bit of what this means. See, the raise your hand. If your bar mitzvah is during the period of Sfiras Omer, raise your hand if your bar mitzvah was between Pesach and Shavuos. 1, 2. That's it. Wow. That's it. Couple guys froze on the screen. David Smart, Asher, Noam, Ellie. Raise your hand. 3 guys. Okay. Yaakov Yitzchak as well. Good. So, raise your hand if your bar mitzvah pshetel was about whether you were allowed to continue counting sfira with a bracha after you became a bar mitzvah. Mamish, none of you. Oh, that's pretty good. It's usually like the classic go-to bar mitzvah pshetel during Sfiras Omer is a shaila that the Minchas Chinuch raises, and this is like classic Minchas Chinuch type of thinking. You started counting Sfiras Omer, you're still a katan during Pesach. In the middle of Sfiras Omer becomes a bar mitzvah. And he hasn't skipped a day. Baruch Hashem, he hasn't missed a day. So if you miss a day, so we know. You know, the Bahag would say you have to count stop lagamre. So we say you keep counting but without a bracha. So Minchas Chinuch wants, so let's say I didn't miss a day, but I was a katan for the first 17 days. And then on day 18, I become a bar mitzvah. So I've been counting. So he has a big klar. What would you say? Does my counting as a katan count? Sorry, this is not a pun. It's just hard to get around this. Does my count, the first 17 days I count as a katan, does that count for when I'm a gadol? Or should you say no? When you're a katan, it's a whole, all your mitzvahs are drabbanan, it's chinuch. And now your mitzvahs are mitzvahs of a bar chiyuva. Okay, Sfiras Omer might be deraisa, might not be. But certainly when you're katan, that was only chinuch, and now this is the real deal. So maybe looking back as a gadol, what happened before didn't count or not. Right? Or maybe not. Okay, so it gets into interesting issues about the nature of mitzvahs of katanim and the nature of chinuch. A simpler case seems to be, let's say you have a non-Jew who converts during Sfiras Omer. And he was so... He was following the news reports about the all these chassidim that are donating plasma to seek to help with this experimental convalescent plasma to help COVID victims. Or for whatever reason, he became he was inspired, and he begins to learn, and he's ready for the full mila tvila kabbalas al mitzvahs during Sfira. See, he counted the first, and see, he was already in training. He was already practicing mitzvahs. And he's been counting Sfiras Omer since Pesach. As a non-Jew. As a non-Jew who is a prospective ger. So he counted 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, all the way to 21. Right? 22, he's misgayer. Now what? Does he start counting with a bracha? So Mishnah says, for sure not. Right? He was not Jewish for the first 21. Right? He counted Sfiras HaOmer, but there was no mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. He was practicing. Right? For sure. By the katan shen is gadil, so then you can clear, you know, he was doing it, but he was only a katan, but maybe it does count. Ah, Rashi Taisus, the nature of chinuch, I think it's probably a little bit early this year. Right? Kovi looks like maybe he has come across this. Now, Boisai, but according to the Rav Second Mahalach and the Bahag, what would you say? The non-Jew counted 1 to 21. The first, he was counting religiously. I mean, he wasn't religious, or was it, right? It wasn't a mitzvah, the first 21 days. But he was being very fastidious about his counting. What would you say? So before we came across this Rav Second Mahalach, when we were assuming that the Bahag holds this one big mitzvah, so the Nachri had no kiyum mitzvah whatsoever. He wasn't Jewish. No sphere of Omer for Nachrim. But now Rabbi Sai, come to Chais. No. According to the Rav Second approach in the Bahag, every night's a new mitzvah. Even for the Bahag, every night's a new mitzvah. It's just that if you missed a night, you lost your continuity. So if you missed a night entirely, 1, 2, 4 is now counting. But if you counted, even if it was in a way that you weren't mekayim anything, but you still mathematically counted. So the katan shen is gadel, or even the ger shen is gayer. Why not? So there was no kiyum mitzvah when he was still Christopher, and he was counting 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. When he was still Christopher, there was no kiyum mitzvah. Okay, he wasn't Jewish, there was no kiyum, no kiyum. That's fine. And now in 22, he becomes Jewish. So if you learn the classical understanding of the Bahag, that's one big mitzvah. So they say, look, he's missing the first 21 parts of the mitzvah. There's nothing to talk about. By the katan, we can clear if his mitzvah counts. But by the gershon as gayer, he was a nachri. Nothing to talk about. But with his new understanding of the Bahag, that's not that one big mitzvah. It's just that you need continuity. There was continuity. He wasn't Jewish, but he was a sentient human, intelligent human being. And he was counting. As a Nachri, he counted 1 to 21. He's up to 22. Jews and non-Jews can both count. He had got no kiyum mitzvah the first 21 countings, but he is up to 22. So now he becomes Jewish on day 22. Go ahead and count with a bracha, even according to the Bahag. And for sure, katan shen is gadil. The child was counting Sfiras HaOmer before bar mitzvah. And then on the day 17 comes his bar mitzvah, of course. Regardless of whether you hold that he had a real kiyum as a katan or not, it doesn't matter. He was counting. He was counting. And the other nafkaminas in this new understanding are prospective, looking forward. Looking forward. I mentioned the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion. If someone is a track record of not completing the count, so Mishnah Berurah says, not make it to the end. Should you start with a bracha? And Mishnah Berurah raises the possibility, should men are supposed to daven in shul every night. Under normal circumstances where there are minyanim available, so if you live in a time and place where minyanim are available, so then you're supposed to daven tefillah b'tzibur every night. You're going to remember to count Sfiras HaOmer. But a woman who is not mechuyavet to go to shul, not mechuyavet to daven ma'ariv at all, she may still want to volunteer the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, and that's certainly a meaningful, valuable thing to do. The question is, should she? If Mishnah Berurah says women tend not to make it to the end, there are certainly exceptions. And it could be this year is an exception in general. Because all the men are davening at home. So it helps the women to remember to count Sfiras HaOmer. Right? But the Mishnah Berurah points out, it's often the case for many women, depends on your setup, that rarely make it to the end. Right? Or, let's talk about another case. Let's say I know, a fellow, Ruvay, knows that he's going to have to undergo surgery. There's a surgery scheduled for 3 weeks from now, in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. And he's not going to be conscious for 36 hours. Mitzvah Shem, he'll be fine, he'll come back. he'll be healthy. But for 36 hours, he will not be able to daven, counsel yourself, or anything. Okay, it's the right thing to do. He is not taken to task for missing Sfiras Omer, for missing Kriyas Shema, onus rachman apatre. But the question is, should he count? He knows he's going to miss Chavis. He knows he's going to miss 23, the way his surgery is scheduled. He's going to miss night and day of 23. They're going to put him out the afternoon of 22, and he's probably going to come back into consciousness the afternoon of 24. So he'll be totally out the day of 23, night and day of 23. He knows in advance he's going to miss 23. Should he count Sfiras HaOmer with a bracha beforehand? Beforehand. Or you know you're going to miss. What would you say? So you think it's likely you're going to miss a day. You know for sure you're going to miss a day. Once I'm past that, I keep counting, but without a bracha. Why? Because the Bahag holds, if you miss a day, you're not yotzei anything. So misafik, we at least don't make a bracha. How about beforehand? Or put it more sharply, if the Bahag knew that he was going to miss a day, would he have bothered to start counting? So the Torah, according to the classical understanding of the Bahag, skip the bracha. Right? It's one big mitzvah. You know in advance you're going to miss part number 23 of the mitzvah. So again, if you say maybe the surgery will get pushed off, maybe who knows, maybe I'll heal, maybe it'll be delayed till after Shavuos. Okay. But they're wheeling you into the operating room. And it's the day after say Sakuchav and say, oh, let me count Sphere for tonight. They say, but you know you're going to be out tomorrow night. So the Bahag would say, according to the classical understanding of the Bahag, you know you're not going to be Mekayim anything. Right? It's very nice. You have a Lulav and Esrog, but you have no Hadash and you have no Haravas. Right? You can be able to count 1 to 22 and 24 to 49, but you know you're going to miss 23. So according to the classical understanding of the Bahag, you know you're going to miss one part of the mitzvah, so there's no Kiyam. Don't make a bracha after. Don't make a bracha before either. Oh, but here's the godless. According to the Rav's approach, the second approach in the Bahag, even if you missed a day, what you did up until that point did count. According to the classical understanding of the Bahag, you missed a day, you missed a part of the mitzvah. So it turns out all the brachas you made up until that point were a bracha levatala. According to the Bahag. So the truth is, if you know in advance you're going to miss, don't even start making brachas. Because you know in advance you're not going to be able to say according to the Bahag. Or if you think it's very likely that you're going to miss based on the past performance, then the Mishnah Berurah declares, maybe we should tell the person, don't make a bracha. Okay, or maybe not. It's only a suffix to begin with, shek sveka. But according to the Rav's second approach to the Bahag, it's not, the whole premise is false. If you miss a day, you can't continue afterwards. What you did up until that point did count. Because according to Rav's second approach, every day is a new mitzvah. It's just that you need continuity. So I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I missed 6. So I can't count 7 according to the Bahag, because that would be meaningless because I'm not counting because I missed 6. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 worked. The first 5 spheres I did with continuity. According to the usual understanding of the Bahag, you miss a day, the whole thing is out. Even what happened before is also zero because it's one big mitzvah and you didn't get it in the end. But according to the second approach to the Bahag, you miss a day, you're out from this point on because you lost your continuity. But whatever you counted up until that point was a Kiyum HaMitzvah every night. So Mimela, if I know I'm going to miss, okay, I know I'm going to miss 23. So according to Bahag, from 24 and on, I won't be able to count either because it's not called counting. But I can get the first 22 of them from 1 to 22. I'll count consecutively from 1 to 22. There'll be a Kiyum with the bracha, with the whole 9 yards. Whether I'm a supik, whether I'm going to make it all the way through, or vada, I'm not going to make it all the way through. Okay. But according to the second approach, whatever I get, I get. So again, let's put all the pieces together. This powerful idea of the Dvar Ram and others. This lumdus that the Rav took and ran with. The Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah of Amira. It's a mitzvah of Sfira. It's a different verb. It's a mitzvah to count. And counting has these unique properties. Counting requires understanding. Counting requires that you do it yourself. Shmei Kona does not going to help you. Counting requires certainty. And counting requires continuity. So that fourth aspect, that counting requires continuity, that explains why if you miss a day, you're out. Lefi the Bahag. And specifically, it explains why one could suggest as a solution, well, count what you mentioned what yesterday was, and that'll patch the continuity. It explains why you might say that counting that was done without a key in a mitzvah still enables you to keep counting with a mitzvah. Katan shen is gadel, or even ger shen is gayer. And finally, it means if the concern of the Bahag is only the loss of continuity, it means that if there was a break, you're not yotze mikano lahaba from that point on, but what you did up until your skip was valuable, even in retrospect. It was not a bracha vatala. If I know in advance I'm going to miss a day, I should still keep counting the bracha up until that point. Or if I'm not sure, because again, if it's only issue of lack of continuity, it's only issue from that point on. And now we have, stepping back, as promised, we saw just 3-4 lines of Gemara at the bottom of Samach Vav and Malf and Menachos, and a line or two in a Tosus, at the end of that Tosus. But it opened up worlds to think about where this has taken us, and the way in which seeking to understand the Bahag, seeking to miyashev the Akash and the Bahag, has expanded our appreciation of with so many diukim, so much sensitive reading of language of Rishonim, and exposed us to worlds of ideas in terms of Birkas HaMitzvah, in terms of exploring parts of the Leil HaSeder. Who would have thought that there could be Lumdus and Charosas? Charosas, Matzah, Lumdus, Rizomer, Lumdus, but Charosas, yes, Charosas. And that rush about Marer, and expanded broadly in terms of thinking about how Birkas, how the Takan Drabban on Birkas HaMitzvah works. And we had seen, you'll remember, the Rav Yisod that the Takan on Birkas HaMitzvah was built around the Maisa Mitzvah, with Nafkaminas for who says the Bracha, for Nafkaminas for which mitzvahs get the bracha, which don't, and nafkaminas for when you do have the bracha, how many brachas do you make? That's what the Rav had used as his first solution to explain the Bahag. That's a one mitzvah, but 49 maisim, and therefore 49 brachas. And then we had a chance to think about the different properties of mitzvos of Amira, the mission in the 7th parak of Sota, and the mission in the 2nd parak of Megillah. And to use that to think about this again, this lumdus of Dvarvram, the Rav, and others, that it's a verbal Sfiras HaOmer is a verbal mitzvah, but not a mitzvah of amira. It's not a mitzvah to say. You use saying, you use speech, but it's not a mitzvah of speaking. It's a mitzvah of counting. And the Mela, as we saw, 4 different nafkaminas, the last of which opened up into 3 or 4 different parts. The 4 nafkaminas of certainty, of saying it yourself, of understanding, as opposed to saying in Hebrew which you don't understand, and of continuity. And the continuity explained the Bahag's chumrah. The notion of continuity explained the response to the Bahag, the fix that the Sefer Chinuch had quoted, why that might help, how that might answer the kasha. And it also pointed us to understand that the Bahag would accept Katan Shen as Gadol and Gershon as Geyer as being allowed to continue to count, because though they may not have had a key on a mitzvah beforehand, they were practically, mathematically, counting. And it narrows the scope of the Bahag's Chumrah to only from the point of the skip and on. Even if you did miss a day, so from that point on, you're not yotze anything, but with the second approach to the Bahag, looking backwards up until the skip, you were yotze, even b'diev, even l'mafreya. Now that we know that you skipped 23, you were still yotze 1 through 22, because at that point there was not yet any discontinuity. Each mitzvah in this second approach is separate. Each counting is a separate mitzvah, not just a separate maisa mitzvah, a separate kiyah mitzvah. So you're mekayim the first 22 rounds of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. So if I know that I'm going to miss, or even if I'm worried I'm going to miss, there's no reason to skip the bracha. Because even if you do miss, it will not lemafreya have been brachas vatala up until that point. We're going to head now. So this is a lot to think about. Now we're going to head right now to Chazara.